Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Rick Pearson in the Tribune today says that the Pritzker team says that there is racism behind political mailings. They look like newspapers, and they have titles for the newspapers that would lead you to believe that maybe they are one of these hyper-local newspapers, like the Will County Gazette or the DuPage Policy Journal or the Chicago City Wire. These mailings have been going out, and they have been saying things about this safety act that you've been hearing about on the radio. Pearson writes, under a new law, judges are to consider pretrial release on an individual basis, including those charged with murder, based on whether the suspects are a risk to the community or a flight risk. Remember, this is a no-bail rule. In the beginning of the year, it won't be who has the most money is able to get out. Everybody will be able to get out of jail if they are determined to not be a flight risk. The mailings that people are getting state that the new law, according to these mailings, mandates murder suspects awaiting trial be released from jail. And then the mailings give a list of charges that it said were non-detainable. I'll get to the list in a minute, but it does remind us a little bit of ads like this.
It will be the summer of joy in Chicago.
Thanks to Governor Pritzker, the lawlessness of Chicago will soon be the law statewide.
If that bill goes into effect, our hands will be tied. All their bonds will be extinguished on January 1st.
We are going to have violent criminals out on the street.
That's why 100 of Illinois' 102 state's attorneys oppose Pritzker's mandatory release of violent criminals. Stop Chicago violence from coming to your town. Vote no on Pritzker.
100 of 102 state's attorneys is compelling, but it just doesn't pass the smell test to me. I do not believe that all of the violent criminals are automatically going to be released, that it's mandated, but that's what the ad says. And then, in fact, in these flyers, they say, here are the non-detainable offenses: aggravated battery, aggravated DUI, burglary, arson, kidnapping, robbery, second-degree murder. The list goes on. They said, we will not be able to detain people if they are charged with these crimes. Now, there's an op-ed about all of this in the paper today by Robert Martwick. He is a state senator from the 10th Legislative District, and he joins us on WGN. Thanks for joining us, Robert. How are you today?
I'm great, John. Thanks for having me to talk about this important issue.
Just before we get into the details, what about this ad campaign that you're hearing, Rob? How does that make you think or feel, or what should I think or feel?
Well, it's terribly unfortunate, without a doubt. I just completed a contested primary. I will tell you from going door to door that the number one issue in many communities, in most communities, is public safety. And we should be addressing it. The idea that this type of ad campaign would be done under the guise of journalism, which is so important to the health and strength of our democracy, it's propaganda. It's shameful, and it's unfortunate because it is really misinforming people for political purposes, and that shouldn't be done that way. If you want to send out political mail, so be it. Put on a disclaimer like everybody else and let them know it's political communications, but you shouldn't be trying to fool the public into thinking that this is journalism.
But does the Safety Act mandate that violent criminals will automatically be released?
It does not. Not under any circumstances does it allow for that. And in fact, what the Safety Act does, and I think a real important thing to take away here, is that when the Pretrial Fairness Act, and that's what we're talking about, the Pretrial Fairness Act is the end of cash bond, and it's part of this bigger Safety Act. The Pretrial Fairness Act was supported by victims' rights advocates. And they were unified because under our current system of cash bond, there is this strange thing that sits right in the middle of the decision-making process. A judge should be, and is required to at this point, be determining whether or not someone is a flight risk or a danger to the public. But right now, they're required to put a dollar value on what would keep that person from hurting the public. Now, that just doesn't make any sense from its most basic standpoint. If someone really wants to murder someone, do you think they're going to say, well, if I had to post 10,000, I'd murder them, but since they made me post 20,000, I guess I won't because that's a lot of money. I mean, we're talking about a very emotional response here. Instead of someone being able to pay their way out of a jail cell with the intent of causing harm to someone else, if a judge can determine, if the state's attorneys can offer evidence that this person poses that risk, then that person will be held pretrial detention and they cannot buy their way out of their cell. And that's why safety advocates and victim rights advocates were unified in support of this legislation.
So irrespective of somebody's financial ability, the judges are going to have to take a closer look then at these bond hearings. I don't know that you'll call them a bond hearing anymore, but they'll have to take a closer look at these people in the hearings to determine if they are a danger to the public, right?
Without a doubt. And let me give you an example of one that was put on that that makes a lot of, it really makes this crystal clear. So the law says that if there is evidence that the person poses a real and specific and present threat to a person, and that is a legal term, a person, meaning they're not offending my sensibilities or my political ideology. They have to pose a threat to another human being, not a specific human being, but any human being. So let's take example of arson. Let's just say someone is arrested because they tried to burn down a school. Then they're going to say, we caught this person trying to burn down a school. If we let him out, then that person may, we believe that that person could pose a threat that he's going to go burn down another school with children in it, and we don't want that to happen. That person is held, okay? Again, it's a human decision. The judge has to decide.
Yeah, it does sound like it's putting...
has to decide.
It does sound like it's putting more responsibility.
How much money?
Sure, sure. But it sounds like it's putting more responsibility, if you will, more judgment on the part of the judges, which I suppose is why they're judges. We should trust the system or the process. I hope they make the right decisions, because somebody who is not guilty of a crime should not be held for too long a period of time as well. I get that.
That is the flip side of this, John, is that we have indigent people who spend upwards of 2 years in a Cook County jail waiting for a trial only to be exonerated of their crimes. And when you look at that, you say, well, what was the point of that, right? So the idea that because you are a very bad person with means, you have the keys to your own jail cell.
Right.
But if you are someone who poses no threat to the public, but because you have no money, you sit. That is
okay, but then,
not fair. And, hence,
well, and that needs to be addressed. I understand that, but it seems to me like it doesn't address this, that most of the guys that get thrown into Cook County are guilty. And these guys that are the gangbangers, that are stealing cars, that are terrorizing neighborhoods, they committed those crimes. And now it sounds like they have a means to get out. They won't have to post cash bond. And if a judge can't assign a next crime to them, then they're going to be released. What in this bill is going to keep those obviously bad guys in jail?
Well, and that's exactly what this bill was designed to do and exactly the problem that it addresses. So I hear this all the time right now as people say, and as I said, public safety is issue number one right now. People say, oh, my God, look at how bad things are. And I say, yes, that's the current system.
Yeah,
the Pretrial
right.
Fairness Act doesn't go into effect till January 1st. And if you know that the current system is broken, why double down on it, right? We're supposed to fix things.
Okay.
And so here's the thing. Look, under the current system, if someone... And I have two young children. So if someone were to carjack my wife with a gun, smash her in the face, cause this horrible trauma, and get arrested, they would be eligible under the current system for some amount of cash bond. If that person is a member of an organized criminal entity, they come, they pay the bond, he's out, he can commit more carjackings. Under the Pretrial Fairness Act, the money does not factor in. I don't care how much money you have. What did you do? Well, he stuck a gun in an innocent person's face, smashed him in the head with the gun, caused him harm, stole a vehicle that had two small children in it. Yeah, guess what? You're going to sit until your trial. And that's why victims' rights advocates supported this bill, because what they saw, especially like...
Well, then what's with these attorneys general? What's with 100 of 102 attorney generals?
Well, I don't know. And to be honest with you, I don't have an answer for them. What I would suggest is that there is a lot of politics. It's election time, right? And I don't wish to cast aspersions. I'm a former assistant state's attorney. But there are a lot of rural and downstate counties here. And I would guess that of that 100, I would be surprised if they weren't all of one particular party. And so this has become an election issue. And I understand it's something that's very sensitive. But I have been a part of these discussions. I've been a part of trailer bill legislation that has been designed to clean this up. I hope that once the politics is over, that we will work together to make sure that this works well. I say this often, John, can you define what a good bill is? I can't unless I'm looking back a couple of years after it's passed. When we pass bills, when we pass reforms, it is with the hope that what we're doing is good. It's with the information that we have. We have a broken system. We did this to make people safer in their communities and to create a system that's more fair so that as I said, that bad rich people or bad people with access to money can't buy their way out of prisons and cause us further harm, and so that indigent people who pose no threat aren't caused to rot in jail because they're poor.
State Senator Robert Martwick, Senator, I'm out of time, and I think you've made the point well. And I'll also direct people to the Tribune today. Your op-ed articulates your views very nicely there. Thank you for joining us on the radio today.
Thanks, John. I appreciate the opportunity. Have a great weekend.